So as I heard that song, "The Battle's Not Mine, I Give It to You," there's a picture that came into my mind of a story in the Bible. It was when the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, sent a message to Hezekiah. In fact, he sent a message to the children of Israel. He said, "Don't let Hezekiah cause you to think that God is going to help you." Said, "We have just come through a lot of other countries that had gods, and we destroyed those, and we're coming on into yours. Don't let him tell you God's going to help you." So he sent a letter to Hezekiah. You know, I like what Hezekiah did with that letter. That song says, "The battle's not mine, I give it to you." You know, there's a lot of times we'll go to the Lord and we'll give it to him, we'll tell him about it, but then we'll get right back up and take it on with us, worrying about what the future holds from it. Well, that story was that they sent a letter to Hezekiah, letting him know what they're soon going to do to him. What did he do with that letter? He took it and he laid it on the altar because it had been sent to the wrong postal address. What he was realizing is, you know what? This mail, you ever had letters come to your mailbox and it wasn't yours? Maybe it was somebody down the street that it should have gone to. Hezekiah realized, this isn't my letter here. This letter belongs to the Lord. So he gave it to the Lord, and the Lord fought the battle for them. I'm thankful for that. I have something that I want to share with you, that my desire is for the Lord to help me. It's been a challenge for me, for my life, and I'd like for us to take a look at it. Some of you have probably heard Brother Marty say this before, that sometimes whenever it was time to go to service, his little children would say, "Daddy, do we have to go to service?" And he would say, "Nope, we don't have to go." But he didn't stop there. He said, "We don't have to go, we get to go." You know, there's a big difference there. I think of some songs that we sing. One of them is, "I love to serve my Jesus. It's a privilege so sublime. I don't have to, I get to. It's my desire to please him with my life." Another song that we sing sometimes that says, "Are you adorning the doctrine and making attractive the way?" And I have to ask myself, am I doing that by the life that I live? So what I want to talk to you about this evening is the challenge, this afternoon is the challenge that the Lord has given me about a subject of trust in the Lord. And I'm really interested in our young people. We have had a lot of young people here this week that I believe, I wish I could speak it well enough, that trust in the Lord is over in that we get to, we don't have to. And often when we hear those words, trust in the Lord, we think about physical sicknesses. You know what? Trusting the Lord starts in so many other places in our lives than that. And that's what I'm wanting us to look at this afternoon, because it's been a challenge for me. By God's help, I want trust in the Lord to be in my want to category. There's a song that we sing sometimes. It says, "I trust you because you've been so faithful to me." You know, trust is built off of past experiences. The devil would like for us to forget what the Lord has done for us in the past and only focus on the problem that I'm faced with today. But for me to trust the Lord more in my life, I need to be able to realize how faithful he's been to me. "And you said in your word, I'll never leave nor forsake thee." You know, it's good for us to see the promises in the Word of God where he says, "I'm going to be with you." You know what? That helps me to be able, in the troubles that come into my life, we don't want to focus just on these troubles or about just sicknesses to my body. Folks, we're faced with troubles in the world today. And I need to be able to put my trust, my confidence in the Lord. It says, "You said in your word, I'll never leave nor forsake you. Lo, I'll go with you unto the end. Your blood has cleansed me from all guilt and sin. your promise I can hold on to. So is this I have to or I get to trust you? It says, Lord, I love trusting you. And those things are built into our life. I'd be very interested in the young people being able to start building trust in the Lord and the places that that starts in our life. You know, really, not just for the young people, but for all of us to realize, you know what, we can build trust. That song goes on, says, I still trust you, Lord, that you're able to guide me through this cold, barren land. You know what, that's not all about just whether I'm sick or not. That's about a confidence that as the world grows more wicked, it says where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. I can trust the Lord to take me through this cold, barren land. And when I don't know which way to turn or go, what am I going to do about it? I still trust you, Lord, so let me hold to your hand. This is not all about when I get sick. This is about when things come into my life that I'll be able to put my trust in the Lord. There is a word that we have, privilege. It's a privilege for us to be able to trust the Lord in areas in our life. It says it's a right that's granted as a special benefit or favor. What song do we find that reassures that in our mind? What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And as he has helped us in the past, he's able also to help us out in the future. There's a verse that says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Those things that he has given me in the past, that I go back and I remember those things that he's done for me, because he is well able to help us all out in the future. I want to make trusting the Lord attractive. You know, there are some verses that tell me how to be able to do that. Psalms 56. Because you know what, as the world starts worrying about the things that are happening around us, we need to be able to show them a confidence, a trust that we have in the Lord. Psalms 56 and 3. This is just a very small verse. What time I am afraid. And you know what? I believe every one of us will have to face some times that we're afraid, not sure what the future holds in this problem. But it says here what I do with it. What time I am afraid, I'm going to trust in thee. Because of past experiences when he has been there, when my times were difficult, he is well able to help me out in the future. There's another verse that we use a lot of times in Isaiah, the 26th chapter. And really there, sometimes I would just get stopped on one verse there. But there are several verses there that are important to us. Isaiah 26 and 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. You know, we're talking about the letter that Sennacherib sent to Hezekiah. He was not letting him know, I know that you have got a strong city because God is there to help you. Instead, what he was trying to do is compare him, you know what, all these other countries that have had gods that they had, and we destroyed those, and this one is going to be no different. But this one right here says, I've got a confidence. In that day, this song is going to be sung. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and for bulwarks. And it goes down in the third verse. This is a verse, a part of it that I've used often. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And I stop there. That's a good part to remember. But you know that verse does not stop there. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. To be able to have a trust and a confidence in God, whatever comes into my life, you are in control of it. And I believe that you will walk with me. You will send into my life what gives me the best opportunity for making heaven my home. But that goes on down and says, fourth verse, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. I'm thankful for that. You know, there are some times when things can get so difficult, we don't hardly know which way to turn. But there is a verse over in Psalms 61. Hear my cry, O God, 61:1. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. You ever had an overwhelmed heart? You know, this is not all about physical sicknesses. This is about difficulties that can come into our life. And our heart can be overwhelmed. But what's he going to do when that happens? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. The privileges that we have of trusting the Lord in those times. And that rock, that stability that God is to us, he has some messages that he sends to us. One of those messages is in Psalms 41. You know, we need to be able to have the promises of the Lord just quickly come to our mind when our heart becomes overwhelmed with troubles that we face. In Isaiah 41:10 is one that I need to be able to have quickly come to me. This is a promise from God. Fear thou not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. At what time I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to turn to him. Thinking of Psalms 125, they that trust in the Lord, you know, we need something solid. You remember the song that we sing sometimes? I needed something steady to hold to and something that would hold to me. This one says, they that trust in the Lord, they're going to be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. It abides forever. Because we got some strength in ourselves? No. When my heart is overwhelmed, I go to the rock that is higher than I am. And it says, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, that's so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. There are promises that the Lord gives us that the devil would like to hide when those big troubles come to us and make us feel like, you know what, you're faced with this all on your own. No, we're not. There are a lot of promises that God gave us. When the devil comes in, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. How he does that a lot of times is verses just like this. When we have, here comes a trouble, and here comes the promise. Fear thou not, I'm with you. Be not dismayed, I'll be your God. So I was looking at the word trust. What does it mean? It's a firm belief in the character, the ability, the strength of someone or something, a person or a thing in which confidence is placed. What is the benchmark that the Word of God gives us? It's found over in Proverbs. What about for trust? In Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, and I need to always have this in front of my mind, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. You know, when a trouble comes to me, instantly I start processing, how do I get out of this trouble? How do I solve this difficulty? Here it's saying, pretty simple, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. And then it says, in all of your ways, acknowledge him. And there's a promise there. He shall direct your paths. How do I see the Lord when trouble comes to me? Think about Isaiah 6:1. He saw the Lord. Said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. I compare this trouble with God, and I find instances all through the Bible that when I lean to my own understanding, I would have done it different. So many stories that we used to read our children in the Bible stories. I'm thinking just now of Gideon. We're coming up against a host of people, and I believe it was 5-1 when Gideon had the most people that he could get. 5-1 coming against him. And the Lord says, you've got too many. What does it say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. You know, Gideon's understanding was, I'm already outnumbered 5-1. And God uses ways that are so different than ours. I need to also always remember the verse, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So the Lord comes to Gideon, and he says, you've got too many people. So apparently, just reading it into the story, it must have been that Gideon's troops were able to see how many there were coming against them, because he was able to ask them a question. If you're afraid, you can go home. At what time I'm afraid, what am I going to do? I'm heading home. That was for them. And what was it? 22,000 maybe? Headed home. They were gone. At what time I'm afraid, I'd like to trust the Lord. Theirs, it was part of God's will. If you're scared, go home. And then he also said to Gideon, you still got too many people. And I'm going to now, you know, our own understanding says, okay, I'm starting to see God's plan right here. He's looking for those. You remember there were some David's mighty men? They could throw a stone and not miss a hair's breadth. Well, you know what? If God says, I'm weeding them down now, we're going to have a rock chunking contest. It didn't do it. My next one is, take them down to the brook. I don't even know how he was able to weed them out, how many drank water one way or another. But it ended up only with 300 people left. So I go back to my verse again, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. So we're down to 300 now against, I believe it's 135,000. There's no match here. But God said, now it's time for weapons. Here goes my mind again. You better get the best thing you can get. You're down to 300 people. And what did the Lord say? You need a trumpet. You need a lamp. You need a pitcher. None of those things are going to help me at all against them. Except what he's doing, he's weeding them down to where, I tell you what, I really need the Lord. At what time I'm afraid, I'm going to trust the Lord now. And you know what? God, the creator of all things, is able to take noise and light. Blow your trumpet. I just wonder, what did that sound? What did 300 trumpets against such a mighty force even sound like? I think God turned up, magnified the sound. He did something that sure made them tremble. And now there's 300 pitchers. You know, you have to kind of turn this thing around a little bit. If you were one of the 300 and you're going in, you know, talk about confidence in God. You know, God was the one, God spoke that to Gideon. He didn't tell the 300 men. Gideon is the one that came to him and said, this is what we need to do. When Joshua came to the people and the Lord spoke to him and said, okay, here's how we're going to take the city. I want you each day to walk around the city and don't say a word for 6 days. You know, the first day, I can see the people up on the city wall, nervous. They've got a plan. Now they're starting to circle us. But you know, by day four, I can imagine they thought, we don't have much to worry about. They're just out getting exercise again today. You know what they were really doing was trusting in the Lord with all of their heart and not leaning to their own understanding. They had just laid their own understanding aside. I'm going to just do what the Lord said. The seventh day, walk seven times around it, and then all you need to do is shout. You know, there was a lot of places in there that I have to realize, you know what, they had put their trust in the Lord. Because looking at that, there looks like there's humanly, there's no way for it to be able to happen. I need to see the Lord high and lifted up. I don't have to understand his plan of how he's working with this problem that I've got, but to know that he has the ability to be able to do it. There's another song we sing. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. To have that confidence in God. And then it says, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. And I have an assurance that you will continue to provide the things I need into my life. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. You know, in Hebrews 11 and 6, it tells us without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to him must believe that he is. You know, the first thing I've got to do is believe that God is. And then I need to believe something else. I need to believe that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He is going to direct my path. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. We're in a time where it is so easy for me to have my own understanding about the problems that come into my life. And God may have a plan that is different than I'm seeing it. I find it all through the scripture. Almost all of the Bible stories that I would read my children, if I were to have plotted out how that should have gone, I would have done it different as a human. But I start seeing a thread in it all. God said, my glory I will not share with another. So with Gideon, he told him why I'm bringing your numbers down lower and lower. Lest Israel at any point in this, when their troops have come down to a small amount, and now I help them win, here's what's going to happen. Lest Israel should vaunt themselves. They win with just a few people, and they go back and tell, you know what, I had this plotted out. We did such a wonderful thing. No, by the time it was finished, with a pitcher and a trumpet and a lamp, they didn't take any glory to themselves. It was all God. When they walked around Jericho every day, and then seven times on the seventh day, and then shouted, there was nothing for them to go away saying, we knew how to plot, we knew how to do it. And now it's 2023, and here we are, faced with problems sometime that I sit down and try to figure out on my own. And then we sing the song, oh, what peace we often forfeit. And that can be in all areas of my life. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Because I didn't do Proverbs 3 and 5, trust in the Lord with all my heart. Don't lean to my own understanding. You know, to do this, we're going to have to build a relationship with the Lord to where I have a confidence in him. Trust comes about by getting to know someone and having a confidence in them. I never understood people that could build trust on an online relationship. People that would leave their home to go meet someone across the country because I love them, and the only thing I know about them is that they can type. And I don't even know that they can type well because they could be using spell checker. But I am willing to build a confidence, a trust in what I read. Folks, I tell you, God wants to prove himself to us. And I know that school is behind the young people. You don't even want to think about it again until you have to next year. But I've thought about the possibilities that a young person has of being able to trust in the Lord with all their heart. At times when an exam is coming up and I've studied for it, I've done the very best I can, but I'm not sure about it, you know what the Lord's pleased with? It's for me to not lean to my own understanding. In all of my ways, acknowledge my need of Him. I believe the Lord is pleased when, as a young person, you start learning to take the things that you could do yourself, but you say, Lord, I'd like your help with this. This test that I have coming up, I would appreciate it. You know, it says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. I think what that's telling us is that the Lord has a way of bringing things to our mind to help us. You remember where it says, Thy word, O Lord, I've hid it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Well, I may not even be remembering the scripture at a time when a battle comes, but you know what? The Lord can take that opportunity to bring it to my mind. He can do the same thing with us when we're older. He can do the same thing with the young people. You know, we have times where sometimes we think, well, this is just too simple to waste God's time about. You ever lost your keys? That's pretty simple. Until you need to go somewhere and you've been looking for 3 hours and you cannot find them. And then you say, okay, I've looked everywhere. I guess I'll stop and ask the Lord to help me. You know how He wants to be able to do the small areas of our life? To where I go from that and say, thank you, Lord, for helping me. I just looked in that spot a while ago and I didn't see them. And you helped me to be able to do it. In all of our ways, acknowledge Him. First, I'm acknowledging my need of Him. And then I'm coming back and acknowledging, thank you, Lord, because you are willing to come down in the small areas of our life. There's a verse over in Psalms 118. And starting in the 8th verse, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in persons, in princes. So I have a little story I want to tell you. You know, we can first of all put our confidence in a man. I've got this problem and I think there's a man that can help me. And then I find out he didn't. But I tell you, if I can move up the chain a little bit to someone with higher authority, he could help me. Years ago, when Gary married Adriana, she was in Mexico and could not cross the border when they got married. But I said, no problem. We're up here in the United States, and when an American marries someone from Mexico, boy, we got some pull there. Little did I know. So we start the process. They got married in September. And I said, don't worry, we'll have you home before Christmas. And so we got in touch with a senator, you know, because here we're moving up the chain. We're going to get somebody that really can help us out. It was 15 months before we even got an audience to be able to maybe come across. 15 months later. You know, we're starting to be able to not put our confidence in a man. We're needing the Lord to help us out now. And they go to Juarez after 15 months. He goes from Oklahoma. She goes from down in Mexico. And they meet there. They're fixing to come across the border now. And so they step into the room there to be processed. And when they put her name in, they said, there's a red flag on this name right here. So Gary said, no problem. We'll step out in the hall while you check it. They said, oh, no, you don't understand. Said, it could be months before this is finished. You go back to America, she goes back to Mexico, and we'll let you know when it's processed. You know, I have a whole lot different respect for people from Mexico that would like to come up here for a better life. So they get in line to do it legally, and they're told it could be 10 years before it happens. But at that time, Gary had been working with me here in Oklahoma City, And he said, okay, Dad, I don't know when it will be, so I'm going to quit and I'm going to live in Mexico. So you know what? Our acknowledging the Lord, that level went up. Lord, we have tried people and it's not working. We need your help. So along comes a man that says, I tell you what, I have the ability of having her at your doorstep for $1,000. $1,000 worth it for me, except for one word. Legally? Yep, legally, I can do it. He said, I need $500 first. I sent that $500 and hadn't never seen him since. So my confidence in man was gone. I tell you what, I need the Lord. And I can remember it was 3 months after that that they had been living in Mexico, not knowing when they'd be able to come back up here. When they got a call, there's another time for you to come back to Juarez again. Well, you know, they could have found something else. But I went to pray and I was telling the Lord, Lord, I tell you what, I'll do anything for you if you would help them to be able to come across. You help them come across and you just tell me what you want and I'll do it for you. I can remember now where I was when Cheryl told me I was out mowing and I found out they have come across, and oh, I was so happy. I was even still telling the Lord, Lord, I'll do anything you want. And then Cheryl waved to me and said, I mean, this is just minutes after that I found out they're coming. Cheryl waved to me to come up to the house. I said, Brother Stanley needs to talk to you. I said, oh, okay, and I'll tell you, I'm so happy. I figure he got the good news too. I don't think he had heard that news, but he said, Dan, I need some help from you. Well, I just told the Lord I'd do anything. So I said, what can I do for you? You know, mow his yard or something. And he said, Dan, I need you to teach the young people's class. Oh, no, Brother Stanley, I could never do that. And while I was saying that, the Lord said, you just told me you'd do anything. Well, all that has led to this. I was just thinking when Brother Philip said, we need people to clean in the kitchen this afternoon. I would rather be cleaning in the kitchen. You know, but the Lord can help us out if we will trust in the Lord with all our heart. Don't lean to our own understanding. And then start acknowledging Him. Acknowledging when He does something for us, but also acknowledging, Lord, I need you in the decisions that are made in my life. You know, we have a verse that says, some people trust in horses, some in chariots. That's an old-timey verse right there. Because I don't trust in a horse or a chariot. It says, but we're going to remember the name of the Lord. You know, there is a danger that I can trust in my abilities. You know, we all plan for the future. I do. Working and planning for retirement one day. You know, there are some verses. Don't put your trust there. Because it says riches can make wings and fly away. And if we put our trust in there, we're going to take a tumble in our spirit. But you know, when we have put all that in the Lord's hands, Job was able to do it. Says he was the greatest man of the East. Had a lot of wealth had been given him by God. And in one day, he lost it. Folks, I'll tell you what, right there is where we'll find out where our trust is. When we have it, and then it's gone. What did Job do? There are people in America that were wealthy one day, and in a stock market crash, they're broke the next. You know, we need the Lord to be able to recover a tumble like that. Because we heard today requests for people, families of people that have committed suicide recently. You know, that comes from no hope. I had at a time when, as a person gets closer to retirement, and they become more interested in what the stock market's doing, because their investments can go up and down quickly. You know, it doesn't matter too much while you're still working a job and you're putting money into retirement, but it makes a big difference when the person has retired and now they're drawing it out. And in just a few days, the stock market tumbles, and what they had last week, they have half of that this week. We had a man, and I've told this before, in the office building where I work, there's a Merrill Lynch that takes care of people's retirement accounts. And he came into the building one day. He was headed up there because the news was out that the stock market is tumbling. He said, "I'm going up to find out what is mine. What has mine done?" And about 2 days later, in the news here in Guthrie, he had committed suicide. You know, folks, we're going to have to put our trust in the Lord when we do it, and when we learn to do it in the small things. That's why, to me, I'm so encouraged by the young people that are here. And I want to encourage you, start testing the Lord. Give him some things and say, "Lord, I want you to prove yourself to me in this." We're not telling him how to do it, but what we're doing is there are many things in life that if we will hand it to the Lord, and when he works it out, it can be very small things. I have had times before when I am just studying in the Bible, and about that time a piece of a verse comes to my mind, and usually you can find it now by just a word search, but I would try different ways and could not find that verse. And you know what the Lord just brings after a while, just without me being able to do it myself, helps me be able to find where it is. You know, I could just pass that up and say, "You know what, I'd have found it anyhow." But what I want to do is, even in those small things, go back to the Lord and say, "Lord, I want to thank you for that." It's probably more important to thank him as I get older, because some of those things are starting to depart me. But for us to be able to do what Job did, should our temporal possessions leave us, where's my heart? It said when he realized his was all gone, says he fell on the ground and he worshiped. "I didn't have anything when I came here. I won't have anything when I leave here. The Lord gave it. The Lord took it away." When I come to the place that in my life, I can see that about everything that happened. The Lord gave me health. The Lord has taken away health. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gave me a job. I've lost that job. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He can lead in other things. I'm thankful that in 2023, the Lord wants to have that kind of relationship with every one of us. In all of my ways now, I start acknowledging him. "Lord, I need you." I like it when we hear a request come in. "I'm going to be taking a trip heading back home, and I would appreciate prayer for safety." You know what? That's acknowledging God. We need the Lord anytime we get in our car. Because I tell you, none of us have a promise of tomorrow. There can be some sicknesses that look like they're unto death. But you know what? None of us know if we'll get home today. An accident could take us out and go out into eternity. So what do? Do we run around scared all the time? No, we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, and we don't lean to our own understanding. "As thou hast been, thou forever shalt be." God will be there for us. In Psalms 91 and 1, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide," it's like there's a guarantee there, "shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord," you know, and I'm not saying of my own strength or my own abilities, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust." I'd like to close with a song, because I tell you, I want to move my trust from the have to the get to. Just like Brother Marty would do with his children, no, we don't have to go to church today. We get to go. I want to be able to see the privilege, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. This song, I believe this person was able to see that. It says, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, and just to know, thus saith the Lord. Then it has another verse, I am so glad. This has moved out of the have to. This is the get to. I am so glad I've learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me and will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to be able to trust him more. None of us know what tomorrow holds for us as a country. I was singing when the service telling us about what the country, the morals of our country, the downfall of our country, Brother Ed gave. You know, we can let those things get us down. We can listen to the news around us and let us get us down. But I tell you, what we can do also is realize that, you know what? A little cell phone light that I have on my phone, if I turned it on in here, you'd hardly even be able to see the beam of it. But folks, we're in a dark world today. And where I may feel like, you know what, my little light just doesn't seem to make much difference, I want to tell you, as the world gets darker, that light is going to shine brighter. And I am thankful for that. Oh, for grace to trust you in more areas of my life. I desire your prayers.